You can go ahead and be finding the book of Jonah. I told you Wednesday night that I'm going to start a series in the book of Jonah. Just going to go through that book verse by verse. Be in Jonah chapter 1 this morning. It's entitled Jonah on a Ship. Jonah on a Ship. I'm going to read a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to read a few verses, and we're going to kind of cover the whole chapter. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1 of the book of Jonah, give you time to find it. I know that's one of those hard ones to find in the Bible. It's too short. The Bible says, beginning in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, go, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. The Bible says in verse 3 that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And then verse 4 said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I'm going to stop right there and ask the Lord to bless the hearing and the reading of His word this morning. We're going to go through that whole little chapter. I don't know if I'll get done today. Might have to finish it tonight, but Milton's already said he'd be back tonight anyway, so let me just say this. I want to say this as a way of an introduction. The most important thing that you can do as a Christian is to find and to follow God's will. The most important thing that you can do as a Christian is to find the will of God and then to follow the will of God. Romans chapter 2, verse 2 says this, we are to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Now, it's one thing not to know the will of God and miss it, but it's another thing to know the will of God and refuse it. And that's what poor Jonah did. This is a classic example in all the Bible of a believer, get this now, preacher, who knows the will of God, yet he doesn't want to do it, and we can learn from it right here in these verses. Let me just say this before I get started. Jonah was a real person. This is a real story. I heard this story about a little girl talking to her teacher one day, and she said, well, the teacher was an unbeliever, and she had told the class that it was impossible for a fish to swallow a human. And a little girl said Jonah was swallowed by a fish in the Bible, and Jonah was human. And teacher laughed at her and said, it's impossible. And a little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah, was he swallowed by a fish? And teacher said, well, what if Jonah went to hell? And little girl said, then you ask. Amen. Jonah was a real person. The Bible refers to him plenty of times. In 2 Kings 14:25, they say he was the son of Amittai. He lived in a little village just above the little town of Nazareth, where our Lord and Jesus was raised. And Jesus even referred to Jonah as a real person twice in the New Testament Gospels. So we're not dealing with a fairy tale, like some people say. We're not dealing with our imagination. This is not symbolic. It's a real story. And it's a story that teaches us that we cannot run from God. And I want to say this. This story is not so much about a big fish as it is about soul winning. And this story is not so much about a backsliding preacher as it is a very compassionate God. Aren't you glad we serve a compassionate God? Right here in the passages of the Bible, we learn a message that you cannot run from God. There's no way. So I just want to go through as much as I can today. I'm not going to get done because I told Sharon this is one of the largest sermons I ever prepared. It's probably 20 pages long, and I just got carried away. I love the book of Jonah, and I'm excited about going through it, and I hope you'll be here every Sunday as we go verse by verse through the book of Jonah. But I want you to notice a couple of things with me this morning. Number one, I want you to notice the preacher's orders. Well, you know what the orders was. God said, go. It's found there in verse 1 and 2. Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, get up, and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. First thing we see is the preacher's orders. I couldn't help but think, what an honor. What an honor it is to think that the God of this universe would speak to a human being. And God honored Jonah, I'm telling you, by revealing himself to him. God honored Jonah, the Bible says, by speaking to him. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And we know today that God still speaks to us. God has spoken to us through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, God speaks to us each and every time we get into the word of God. But what an honor that God would speak and that God would share his plan and reveal his will for our lives. God told Jonah this, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh and cry out against it. In other words, he said, Jonah, you a preacher. I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to preach the word. That was a specific plan for Jonah. Go, go. I couldn't help but think about it. God sends special people to special places for special purposes. I really believe that with all of my heart. Listen, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. God has a purpose for our lives. God has a place of service for you. And the Lord said to Jonah, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh and preach the word, boy. I want you to listen. That word Nineveh, Jonah knew about Nineveh. That little town Nineveh got his attention. He knew about Nineveh. He'd probably seen about Nineveh in the local paper or on the news. The Bible says in verse 2 that it was a great city. Now, it was great in many ways, but one way it was great is because it was wicked. It was a wicked city. They were mean people. They didn't like others. They didn't like outsiders. I read some this week how mean Nineveh was. They'd pull your lips off. They'd pull your hands off. Sometimes they'd bury their victims up to their neck. And God told Jonah to get up and go to this crazy, mean city. They were bad. I'm talking about bad with a capital B, bad to the bone. And Jonah was down there at the First Baptist Church where he was the preacher and everybody liked him. And everybody loved him. And everybody took care of him. He had a good job down there at the First Baptist Church. And God told him, get up and go to Nineveh. Well, you know, sometimes we give Jonah a hard time, but I can kind of sense what Jonah's going through. That'd be like God telling me, Buckshot, I want you to go to Syria. And I want you to preach to those people down there. You know what those people do to Christians? Cut their heads off. So we got to think about this. This is what Jonah was going through. I could see myself saying, God, I know you don't want me to go to Syria. I'm at Northside Baptist Church, and I think those people like me pretty good. I'm happy there, and I hope they're happy with me. And it would, same thing. Jonah was happy where he was at, and God told him to get up and go to Nineveh and preach. In chapter 3, we're not going to get that far today, but we're going to get to it. The Bible tells us what he wanted Jonah to preach. He was to go and preach this, chapter 3, verse 4, for 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was supposed to go down there and say, you don't have 40 days and God's going to destroy you if you don't repent. Go and preach. God told Jonah to go and preach, and Jonah said no. You see, Nineveh, that wicked city, Jonah didn't want to go down there. He didn't want to leave his good church. He decided that he'd just flee. Listen now. He decided he would just flee from the presence of God. He woke up one morning and he said, well, maybe if I get away from my church and maybe if I get away from my place where I pray, and maybe if I get away from my studies, maybe God won't speak to me anymore, and God won't ask me to go. So he decided he's going to flee the presence of Almighty God. The Bible says he went to Tarshish, and Tarshish was the opposite direction of Nineveh. The Lord told Jonah to turn right and go east, and he turned left and went west. He went in the opposite direction. You know what he was doing? He was trying his best to run from the presence of God. How many of you know you can't run from God? Listen to what the Bible says. Surely Jonah knew this. The Bible says in Psalms 139, where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I descend down in hell, you're there. Even there art thou. How many of you know God's everywhere? He knew, surely he knew that he couldn't run from God. But you know what I thought of? How many of you would agree with this? Sin's got a way of blinding you. Amen. Sin had him blinded. He just said, well, if I go this way, God said go this way. If I go this way, God's not going to be with me anymore. And I don't have to go to Nineveh. I can just go down here to Tarshish. My church done give me a sabbatical, and I'll just take off for a few months. But so there he went, headed in the opposite direction that God said to go. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he goes down to Joppa. I couldn't help but notice this in verse 3. He went down. Listen to me. Anytime you get out of the presence, anytime you get out of the will of God, you're going down. He went down. Every time you go away from the will of God, you're always going down. If you look there at verse 5, Jonah was going down. And in the second chapter, we'll get there next Sunday, Jonah said, I went down. I'm here to tell you this morning, anytime you get out of the will of God, there's nowhere to go but down. I remember when the Lord found me, I was low as I could get. Couldn't get any lower, but I'm glad today that God reached down, picked me up out of the fire, picked me up out of the old mud that I was in, and set my feet on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jonah went down to Joppa. They call it today Jaffa. I've been there one time. It's a beautiful place. It's part of Tel Aviv, and it's a seacoast town, and that's where the ships sail in and they sail out, and they still do it to this day. And old Jonah, he decided he's going to go down there, and he goes down to Joppa, and the Bible says he finds a ship, and guess where that ship's going? Tarshish. I thought of this. How many of you know if you're out of the will of God, that the devil will help you every time? Now, how did he know there was a ship going to Tarshish? He just went down there to the seacoast, and all of a sudden he said, hey, I want to go to Tarshish. And the man said, there's a ship leaving right now. The Bible says he found a ship. I'm here to tell you, if you're out of the will of God, the devil will help you. He'll help you. He'll make things seem so easy. I thought about this. There might be a husband in here today, and you're thinking about having an affair on your wife. You better be careful, because you'll find a ship. That's right. Maybe there's a wife in here, and there's this guy at work, and he's flirting with you, and you kind of like it because it makes you feel good. Be careful. The devil will see to it that you find a ship. If there's a Christian in here and you just want to flirt with that sin, just dabble in it a little bit, listen, you'll find a ship. Maybe you're a Christian, you don't want to serve anymore. Be careful, because the devil will see to it that you'll find a ship. Sometimes churches find ships. They don't want to win souls anymore. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. Bible says for us to go. And sometimes churches just want their 44 and no more. Be careful, because you'll find a ship. And we've got churches all over this place today. Listen to me. There's churches all over this place today. And they're just 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 or 15 people there. And they're dying. Why? Because the devil give them a ship. We got to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil rejoices when folks do such as that. Old Jonah goes down and he says, is there a ship going to Tarshish? And the man said, yeah, matter of fact, there is. And the Bible said he paid the fare. Boy, when I read that, I about had a spell. He paid the fare. He had the money. The devil seen to it that he had the money to pay the fare. Just enough to exactly what he needed to pay the fare. And that's the way it is too. When you get out of the will of God, when you get into sin in your life, you'll always have enough money to pay the fare. The Bible says the wages, listen to this, the wages of sin is death. Listen, there's pleasure in sin for a little while, but then you got to pay. You got to pay the fare. You always pay. Listen to me, I'm preaching. You always pay when you're out of the will of God. You always pay the fare. I never will forget this as long as I live. I'm going to tell this story. I started not to, but one of the first times I preached was down at Home of the Heart. And I hadn't even gone to school yet. I hadn't went to Fruitland, and I was down there preaching just the best I know how. I was just telling my testimony, and a spirit of God was there, and a little boy got saved, a little young man got saved. And I remember walking to my car that night, and he'd followed me to the car, and he said, Brother Buckshot, your testimony is just like mine. I appreciate you sharing it tonight. And I want you to know when you gave an invitation, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I asked God to forgive me of all my sins. And I just rejoiced with him, and I prayed with him. And we had a good time there together. And then I told him this. I said, do you have a Bible? And he said, yeah, I got a Bible. And I said, you need to get in your Bible, and you need to find a Bible-believing church. And you know what he told me? He said, preacher, I don't want no part of church. I said, why? Why don't you want any part of church? And he said, preacher, I grew up in church, and my mom and daddy come home every Sunday, and they fussed about that preacher. They talked about how the sermons was boring, and how all they ever asked for was money. And every Sunday, preacher, he would just talk, and they would down the preacher and down the church. It wasn't nothing there but a bunch of hypocrites, and they just down it and down it and down it and down it. And that's all I heard every Sunday after we got out of church. And he said, preacher, I don't want no part of church. Listen to me, be careful. Be careful what you say around your children. Always uplift your church. Always uplift the people of your church. Listen, we're all human. We're human. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. If this church was perfect, when you hired me, you messed up. We're just saved by grace. Doing the best we can. Brag on your church. Hey, you brag on your church, people might come. Get on fire. Hey, listen, I heard this joke. I know I ain't going to get done, but I heard this about this fire that was down at the church building, and fellowship building was on fire, and there was a bunch of people come to put that fire out, and one of the deacons said to another man, I hadn't seen you in church in a long time. He said, this first time church's been on fire. Hey, let's get on fire. Get on fire for God. Brag on what God's doing at your church. Don't bring your church down. Brag on your church. Brag on your Sunday school. Brag on your choir. Brag on your singers. Brag on the music. Brag on the preacher every once in a while. But brag on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's worthy. I've got good news for you today. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ went out to a place called Calvary. And on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ paid the price. He paid the fare for our sins. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Oh, Jonah gets out the ship. The Bible says in verse 4 there, the Lord sent out a great wind. Do you see that? The Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I mean, this wasn't some ordinary storm. This was a supernatural storm. Oh, Jonah got on that ship. Everything looked good. That water was just as smooth as glass. And all of a sudden, they begin to sail, and the wind began to pick up a little bit. And all of a sudden, the clouds got dark, and the Bible said that the Lord sent a storm like he'd never seen before. I thought about it. There's all kinds of storms. The same God that can step out on the sea and say, peace, be still, is the same God that can send a storm in your life. And I'm here to tell you today, when you get away from the Lord, it's going to be stormy weather. Look at verse 5. The Bible says the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it up. But Jonah was down there in the bottom of the boat and was fast asleep. They were praying to their pagan gods, and Jonah was asleep. Here's what I want you to notice. Number 2, the sailor's cry. These sailors were experienced sailors. They'd been in storms before. But I'm here to tell you, this wasn't no ordinary storm. This was a supernatural storm. This was a storm caused by Almighty God, because there was somebody in that boat that was out of the will of God. And the Bible says they begin to throw things overboard, and they begin to pray to their pagan God. Now here Jonah was, a Baptist preacher. He's a preacher. He's down there in the bottom of the boat asleep, and all these others were praying. They didn't believe in the one true God, and they were praying to their pagan God. And the Bible says they begin to throw things overboard, and they begin to pray. And the Bible says there in verse 5, but Jonah was down there in the bottom of the boat, fast asleep. He's tired. How many of you know it's hard work when you run from God? Hard work. The boat was a rocking, and the Bible says he was down there in the bottom asleep. Winds were blowing like crazy, and he slept through it all. And the pagan sailors was up there praying to their pagan gods. And Jonah, the preacher, was in the bottom of the boat, asleep. You know why he was asleep? He said, whew, I've got away from God. I don't have to go to Nineveh. I've got away from God. There's a whole nother sermon in that right there, but I ain't going there. But it's time to wake up. Look at verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call on your God. If so be that God will think upon us and we perish not. I couldn't help but see this. The shipmaster said, we prayed to our gods. It hadn't done any good. Nothing's happened. Wonder why. Then verse 8, the Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil upon us? What's your occupation? And whence cometh thou? What is thy country? And of what people are thou?" They just wanted to know who Jonah was. Everybody else was trying to save the boat, and Jonah was in the bottom asleep. They didn't know. Listen, they didn't know he was a man of God. They didn't even know he was a preacher. They didn't even know that he was a believer of the one true God. I couldn't help but think about that. Isn't that so sad? The only Christian probably in that boat, the other ones were pagans. They were praying to their pagan gods. Only Christian was in the bottom of the boat asleep, and they didn't even know he was a Christian, much less a preacher. Boy, I couldn't help but think about that. It's a sad thing when the lost world around us has to ask if we are a believer or not. I wonder, do people know that you're a Christian on the job? I wonder if people know you're a Christian at the grocery store. Whew, this one's a hard one. I wonder, do preachers know preachers? I wonder, do people know that you're a preacher when you're behind the wheel of that car and they're driving about 45 miles an hour and you're ready to get around them? Look what he says in verse 9. I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Now, all of a sudden, Jonah's in the bottom of that boat, and then all of a sudden, he realized that he couldn't run from God because he said, I'm a Hebrew, I fear the Lord. Not only is he the God of heaven, but he's also the God of the sea. Notice what he said, which made the sea and the dry land. So he's finally figured it out. God's not only a God of the dry land, but he's the God of the sea. He understands now that you can't run from God. You might be here today and you're way off from God and you think nobody knows it. Listen to me, God knows it. You might be here today and you're sitting in one of them pews and you're not saved, or maybe you're backslidden, you're not as close to Christ as you once were, and you think nobody knows, and you're sitting in that pew and you look all good and fancy. Let me tell you, God knows. God knows. You can't run from God. But the Bible says in verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, what have you done? And he told them he was running from the Lord. And Jonah told them in verse 12, look at verse 12 there. Cast me forth into the sea, that the sea will be calm unto us. I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. So look what they did in verse 15. They took up Jonah and they cast him forth into the sea. And notice what happened. The sea ceased from its raging. I wonder this morning as I close, what will it take to get us serious about the Lord? I want to say, if there's ever a time for us to get serious about the Lord, it's now. Somebody needs to be saved today. Been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, running from the Lord. You can't run from God. Somebody needs to repent and come back to God today. Listen, don't put it off. Don't put it off. You'll be like Jonah. You'll just be in a mess. Do it today. Let me just give you three reasons, and I'm going to close. Let me give you three reasons why you need to be saved today. And you'll have to come back tonight to get the rest of this. It's good, so come back tonight. Let me tell you three reasons why you need to be saved today. Number one, you don't want to go to hell. Amen? Number two, you don't want to go to hell. Number three, you don't want to go to hell. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. No, no, listen, maybe I am. Maybe I am. Because I'd rather scare you into heaven than for you to go to hell. You see, I'm just a preacher that really believes in a place called heaven, and I can't wait to get there. Oh, the Bible says that it has streets of gold. I never even walked. I can't imagine what streets of gold look like. It's a place where there's no more sin, no more death, no more disease. Oh, it's a beautiful place. I can't wait to see my mom and daddy. I can't wait till I can get there and I can see the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in heaven. And I love to preach on heaven. Believe me. But you know what? I also believe in a place called hell. And that place is a place that you'll be separated from God for eternity. I believe it. And I would rather stand up here and you not like what I'm preaching about than stand before God one day and he say, boy, how come you didn't preach on hell? Jesus spoke on hell way more than he preached on heaven. Three reasons I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. You need Jesus. Maybe you've been saved. Listen, you still need Jesus. You need him every day of your life. It's like that old song. I love that old song. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I wonder, is he holding your hand today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is the invitation today. If you're in here today and you're running from God, quit running. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus for salvation. Come to Jesus for repentance. Come to Jesus for baptism. Come to Jesus for church membership. Whatever it is today that God's laid on your heart, you be obedient to him. Don't grab that pew. Turn it loose. Come to Jesus today. And I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Father, this is your invitation. Lord, I've done all I know how to do. And God, I just pray that you would just move in this invitation. Lord, speak to someone's heart today. Lord, speak to that person that's furthest away from you. God, that they'd come back home. Lord, if there's someone in here today that's lost, I pray, Lord, right now that your love would just shine through them. They'd see the need to accept you today before it's too late. Lord, whatever the need is today, I pray, Lord, that you'd meet that need. God, I pray that they do business with you. We'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, let's stand. We're going to sing.